In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Now let's see if I'll go 3 for 3 for a coughing fit during this sermon today. I've been using some lozenges, so here's hoping. This past weekend, I had quite the accidental adventure while on a routine hospital visit involving lost keys, a very, 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 very late tow truck, and a ride to Deb's daycare from the only other priest I could find who didn't have children or plans on a Friday night and could pick me up. But even before all of that, I was just already feeling like I was on an adventure. I was chatting people up in the elevators and in the hallways. And because I was already feeling extra bubbly, I decided to strike up a conversation with a white coat professional named Deborah. I said, "Hey, a Deborah. I always say hi to Deborahs. My baby's name is Deborah." And then she looked me square in the face and said, "Your baby's name is Deborah. Unless she doesn't have an H at the end, her name is Deborah because of the Hebrew word." Now, she's not wrong that there's different pronunciations. 3 for 3. I'll do my best. She's not wrong that there's different pronunciations and that it is a Hebrew word, but I was kind of internally screaming at this point. I thought, "Wow, Doc, let's stick to what we know. You save lives, I have fun little Bible facts." And I thought, why am I so defensive about this? And then I realized it's because of what the name Deborah means to me. You see, I did not just name my daughter on a whim. I firmly, wholeheartedly believe that God told me that I would one day have a daughter and I would name her Deborah. Now, without getting into the entire story, there was one day where I had this stirring in my heart that I'd have a baby girl someday. And on 3 separate occasions that day, I came across the name Deborah when I was thinking about that stirring in my heart. I found a card with just the name Deborah on it. I saw a woman named Deborah walk in front of my vehicle, and she was a woman that I happened to think was very holy. And I turned on the radio, which I never do. And when I turned on the radio, I heard a DJ say that the name Deborah is the most successful baby girl name according to data and science. And I thought, well, that's it. This is an absolute miracle. I'm gonna have a baby girl named Deborah someday. And I went home and I told some of my friends. And it was very, very disappointing because they were not excited about it like I was. They thought they were just a bunch of coincidences. But I knew it. I just knew it to be true. And it doesn't matter if those other people didn't see the significance, because it was my moment with the Holy Spirit, just like Moses and his experience with the burning bush on the mountain. It might not have seemed real to others, but it was real to me. Now, in Moses' case, in the myth of the burning bush, it's important to remember that oftentimes myths have at least some little bit of truth or fact in them, even when it comes to the very miraculous. These stories can seem out of this world, impossible, but oftentimes they have boring scientific explanations for why the events are happening. natural gases rising from the ground, creating steam, making it appear that a bush is burning but not being swallowed up. Perhaps an eclipse or an unusual constellation, what have you. All of these things are present in Scripture. But what if we aren't supposed to try to find out how much they're factually true? Or get caught up if they're not true? What if it was only supposed to be true for Moses so that he'd get off his behind and listen to God? What if a theophany, that is, a moment when God shows up in a way we can hear, see, or experience, what if those events are always meant to be privately true moments that drive us out of what we know toward what God is calling us to do? Now, you might be tempted to think, well, if we take the burning bush story too literally, then we're being ignorant or biblical fundamentalists. We're becoming magical thinkers without common sense. Or maybe you think the opposite, that we take it too metaphorically. Running the risk of watering down Scripture. You think to yourself, no, this bush had to be real, otherwise why are we reading it at all? And then maybe it makes you wonder, how many other stories are going to be proven to be pure myths or scientific coincidences? Well, the truth is complicated. When it comes to encountering God in our everyday lives, we can easily sway in either direction, believing everything or believing nothing. We can become swept up in extremes and find ourselves uncentered and ungrounded, doubling or tripling down in our beliefs and doing just about everything that isn't our purpose as baptized Christians. But as is customary in our spiritual tradition, there is an answer: both and. And yes, I know that's a non-answer answer and a very Anglican one, but it is the answer in this case. We are supposed to be receptive to the Holy Spirit while remaining grounded in reality. We are supposed to be willing to let our eyes be opened to what God wants to reveal, while understanding that, yeah, there might be a reason why that weird bush looks like it's burning, but is not being consumed. Because without that bush, Moses might have just stayed tending that flock. Without those coincidences, my attention would never have been drawn to the name Deborah. So the next time your eye is caught by something out of the ordinary that seems impossible, let yourself pay attention to it. Not because we are all destined to have some crazy vocation involving rescuing an entire ethnic group of oppressed people, but because God wants to have a relationship with us. And frankly, because sometimes if we don't see something weird, we won't take the time to foster that relationship. We won't move forward with what God wants us to be. May we be open to seeing our own burning bush and grounded enough to know that the miracle may not be in what we see, but what God is asking us to do once we've seen it. Amen.